Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Another batch of receivers here going with 2-2 Atwell out of Louisville, as well as Amon-Ra St. Brown out of USC. So we'll start first with Atwell, and he's very small. So I think that's the initial place that you need to start with him. He's just going to be, if he's a speed contributor, right? I think that could be interesting for him. Probably doesn't much help in the fantasy realm. So that would be the big concern there with him. So he came in at 5'9", 155, ran 4.42, 33-inch vert, 117 broad jump, 4.14 short shuttle, 6.89 three cone. So to give you an idea, that is a 22.89 BMI. Ain't good. The smallest person I have in terms of weight in the combine history. So that's not great either. 81 speed score. That's a disaster for his size. The vert and the broad, both well below median. His best calling card would be his agility, 74th percentile in the short shuttle, 58th percentile in the three cone, but performed well below expectation given his size in the three cone. So that's kind of where you're at with him. I do think he's explosive in terms of speed. There was a game that I watched. I watched two or three of his games, and there's a game where he played. It was in 2020, and his quarterback, I mean, if you had sort of randomly tried to throw the ball in a general range, and it was going to just, sort of randomly be placed in like a 15-yard radius of Tutu Atwell, like it wouldn't have been like all that different from what happened. He was overthrown and then underthrown and then underthrown. Like, I couldn't write underthrown fast enough in terms of when the plays are running back together one after another. Underthrown's a long word. It takes a long time to write it. And it was just constantly, repetitively, right after another. It was one of those games where I think he went like 4 for maybe like 40, something like that. Like, he could have easily gone for 8 for 250. It was pretty remarkable in terms of what was left on the field. It was just, there was a lot there that could have been, and even the catches that he made, like, it was totally a crapshoot. So I will say, like, there, you know, his stats, he grades out decently in terms of some of the stats, the efficiency stuff, the yards per route run. Like, if he had a quarterback that was decently competent, like, he could have blown the doors off the yards per route run just because he was constantly missed. So that's the big thing with him. PFF has him as like a fourth round grade. That's kind of where he checks out to be with some of the grinding the mock stuff. That's kind of where he fits in. Tavon Austin is a comp. J.J. Nelson's a comp for Matt Waldman. So you sort of get the idea. He's almost entirely a slot guy. So he played just this is pretty wild. In 2018, he played 481 snaps. 470 of them were in the slot. Only 8 were out wide. So that gives you an idea of where his usage is. It's almost entirely in the slot, which is going to be necessary given his size, honestly. So he's explosive. I think he's more of a special teams gadget guy than he is any sort of fantasy option. I have seen some rumblings of him going, he's a guy. I'm not necessarily sure it's been like first round quality, but you just hear him pop up in some podcasts and that sort of stuff. 64th percentile yards per team passing attempts. That's pretty good. You like to see that. He did break out at 19 years old for both a 20% and a 30% breakout. So his 30% breakout age, 76%. That's pretty good. 2.57 yards per route run. That's 70th percentile. So that's also very good. So yeah, so I mean, there's some good stuff here, but I think once you sort of, you know, once you look at the numbers, look at the production stuff, and then sort of put a profile next to it, it's not one that's going to generate a ton of volume for fantasy purposes. So I'm basically all out again at these, give me the guy that's big and unproductive, and then the guy that's tiny and productive, just because you can't really project a big time usage out of him. If he saw 80 targets in a season, like, that's probably like a ton for him. And JJ Nelson's an intriguing cop, right? That makes a lot of sense given the very, very lightweight nature of the player. Amon-Ra St. Brown is an interesting one. And again, he might end up being a better fantasy option than he is, or he might end up being a better NFL option than he's a fantasy option. Two comps that came up, I thought were pretty telling. Brian Hartline and Sterling Shepard. Those are basically ancillary guys. And when you say, okay, like, that's a decent NFL career, but how does that make a difference in fantasy? He's a really good route runner. You can see that it shows up. I think he knows what he's doing too. You see some of these guys, especially when you watch a ton of tape, like right in a row, it's like, come on, like, break on your route. Like, come on, like, work back to the ball. He was doing all that stuff. So that kind of signals to me, hey, he takes his craft seriously. He can sort of be dependable. That's good stuff there. I think he just kind of lacks in some of the physicality stuff, which is weird because he tested decently well. So he came in at 5'11", 197, 4.51. 39 inch vert, 127 broad, 4.27 short shuttle, and 6.81 three cone. So when you sort of look at that, the 40 time is 56th percentile. So, but when you sort of adjust for weight, it's 95 speed score. That's 44th percentile. That's not great. 87th percentile, both the vert and the broad jump. That's very good. Short shuttle was only 40th percentile, but 71st percentile in the three cone drill. So there's some good stuff there. He is below the average in terms of drops, so that's not good. And he struggled in the yards per route run production stat. So again, that's not good either. So those, you know, there's some stuff there. I can see why some of the tape guys like him maybe more than some of his production numbers, especially this past year. He played a ton in the slot in terms of his first 2 years, and then they kicked him outside. I don't think it really fits him all that well. Right? I think it's a little bit maybe much for him. He gets a little bit overwhelmed. I'm not sure he's got the physicality to totally play outside. But if he sort of played that Sterling Shepard type slot role, I think that's actually something that could be interesting. Did break out 20% breakout threshold. He broke out at 18 years old. 30% threshold. He broke out at 20 years old, and then when you sort of look at that, he is a 47th percentile, 30% breakout guy for his age. So, again, that's good. It's better than not breaking out, so that's good. And then, you know, but it sort of blends in with some of the other guys, and it gets overwhelmed by some of the elite guys in the class. And you sort of see, like, hey, this is a round three, round four guy, something like that. Like, that's kind of where he fits in. 49th percentile in yards per team passing attempts. So that's a metric that Peter Howard likes quite a bit, and I've incorporated into my analysis. 37th percentile in yards per route run. You sort of get the drift here, right? It's probably more on tape than it necessarily is in terms of pure breakout. Again, he broke out. Where he broke out was from the slot. And then when you sort of kick him outside, like, all right, that's the clear limitation. So that's pretty much the big concern there with him. I could see him be interesting. Like, I could see him, you know, we look back in like 6-7 years and be like, I'm on the same round. Like, really, kind of got more out of what, his profile would have said than we would have expected. You know, that's decent career, but that kind of looks like maybe Sterling Shepard or, you know, someone of that ilk. And you just, okay, like, there's not a ton to write home about there. So that's ultimately the big concern with him. Again, I'm probably not in on either of these guys because that's just not really a range that I'm going to take I'm just not really going to take a ton of wide receivers unless you got to have basically all of it, or you got to have a trump card that's really interesting. So maybe the Chase Claypool, when you sort of squinted and really squinted and sort of tilted your head and really, you know, bent it and angled it and got yourself a little bit dizzy, like you could see Mike Evans there. I hate those types of comps just because you're comping him to an all-timer. So, but when you sort of looked at the college profile, looked at some of the testing, like it wasn't that off. And that profile, I think, has much more intrigue than a guy like Amon Ross St. Brown. And just, you know, you sort of get burned by the Sterling Shepard experience. You know, he's up in the first round of rookie drafts. It's pretty underwhelming when you spend that on it. You know, if he's going to be a third round rookie pick, I guess that could be interesting. He's going in the range of like Tylan Wallace, for example. He's going after Elijah Moore, Terrence Marshall. So I'd much rather have those guys ahead of him, you know, and that would sort of be the thing. Like, I would give me the shot on Kadarius Toney over him for sure. You know, that's one that when you sort of look down, you're like, all right, yeah, like I'll take a swing at a guy that I think can really make a difference. And, you know, is Kadarius Toney's median lower than Amon St. Brown? Yeah. But is his ceiling a lot higher? Is his, you know, is an 80% outcome for Kadarius Toney better than an 80% outcome for Amon Ross St. Brown? Yeah. And that's the point at which they're going to really, you know, have some sort of impact on your dynasty team. That's kind of what my angle would be on it. So, yeah, I mean, Tony's one of those guys I'm going to kind of keep coming back to and be like, yeah, I get it. I don't love it, but I get it. And when you sort of compare the two of them, you're like, all right, I can see Tony having a more significant impact. And ultimately, like, yeah, we don't want to just flat whiff on guys, but we need, in this range, we need some ceiling. And that's present with a guy like Tony in a way that I don't think it is with St. Brown. So that's really the thing there. Again, I'm probably going to be out. So St. Brown right now at DLF has him 18th overall at 18.4 ADP. That is wide receiver 8 in the class. And Tutu Atwell, just to sort of close the loop on that, wide receiver 16, he's 34.4. Again, I struggle to see that. There's guys after him too that are interesting, like Khalil Herbert, Javian Howard, for example. Those guys are interesting. So yeah, I mean that would be stuff that I would potentially look at over him. So all right, well that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Again, Amon Ross St. Brown and Tutu Atwell, probably avoid guys at their cost. We're not selecting very many wide receivers outside of the top two rounds of the NFL draft. So the first and second round, you know, the third round's that. It is a drop off from there. You know, you could talk me into a really good profile on that range, but outside of that, we're taking limited numbers. So these guys probably not going to make the cut. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.